Don't need a microphone. Father, we thank you for the changes, Lord. Thank you that you unseated, Father, in a certain way. You unseated, Father, a kingdom of darkness, Father, and you just brought some new things into our country, Lord. And we celebrate you for that, Father, and thank you that which you give birth to, you sustain, Father. And we thank you for a sustained advance of your kingdom through government in the next season, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we will not just see a beginning of good things, Father. We will not just see the birth pains, but for Father, this thing will come to its fullness, Lord. And this country will come to its full potential. And not just this country, Father, the whole of Africa, Father. Let this be the beginning of great things in Africa, which has happened in South Africa and Zimbabwe. Father, let it go. Let it come to its fullness, Lord. Let it come to full godliness, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. Thank you, people. So we've been speaking about commissioned by the King the last three weeks. We've just been thinking about different aspects of what it means like to be called by King Jesus, and who is the King? What does it mean to operate from a place of rest, from a place of kingdom commissioning, from a place of knowing who we are and knowing who he is, and what it looks like when we come to him and when he calls us. And then I spoke about being led from a place of rest. Marichan spoke about love. We just spoke about a few things that's important in terms of kingdom, bearing kingdom fruit. And the main emphasis is really on the fact that God calls us to himself before he calls us to do great things. He calls us into his presence. And so we can do a lot of great things for God, but God is firstly more interested in a relationship with him and us journeying from that place with him in the relationship to greater things. So he's calling us to a place of security in a sense. And then he wants us to do great exploits. And it doesn't mean he doesn't send us to things that are not scary and it doesn't seem intimidating. What God is saying is when you go with me, then anything is possible. Then you can face all kinds of things. And I like the testimony that Johan shared this morning, because I'm going to continue with that today. I'm just speaking about kingdom fruit. God is commissioning us to bear kingdom fruit. And obviously we can speak a lot of about the things that we think God has called us to do, and et cetera. But the first thing I want to say this morning, for all of us, it will probably be very different to produce kingdom fruit. You know, if you are in a different sphere of your life, different age group, maybe in a different environment, for you to bear kingdom fruit where you are at is going to be very different. You know, for a mother at home, to bear kingdom fruit is possibly primarily related to raising up godly children, you know, imparting godliness into her children. That will probably be the main emphasis. How do I impart godliness into my children? How do I show them godly character? How do I teach them the principles of the kingdom? You know, that would be for a mother. But if you're a businessman, it will probably be a bit different. Look differently. Your sphere, your ground area is going to be a bit different. And the amazing thing is God is a God of diversity. He brings unity in that diversity, but he loves diverseness. He loves the fact that all of us have different giftings, different backgrounds, different callings in a sense, and it all comes together in a beautiful way. And that's what I really love about our church. You know, we got a diverse group of people sitting here today, and God loves that, you know. In a sense, in that diversity is how we can serve each other in a great way, because you've got something that somebody else needs. If we're all the same, then we're in a sense not in need of each other. I was reading a book this week, and a guy makes a statement, and he relates back, and I'm just thinking of that now. He says the original word Hebrew, the language which is associated with Abram, was meant to bind together. So from the beginning, God intended the family of faith to be a people that are bound together through our different needs. We need one another. We need to come together to function as a whole. And when I speak today about the kingdom, it's not just kingdom coming in your personal life. It's not just kingdom coming in Durban, etc. It's the kingdom coming, in a sense, in a corporate way. It's going to come through your life, but it's not just for your life. It's for the greater whole. That's what I love what Johan is saying. You know, you met the girl is from their workplace where they live in the South Coast, and you know, they just associate with the person, talk with them, and then eventually in the church, etc. And then they end up in hospital. That is, in a great way, how the kingdom works. God God connects us with other people who need the kingdom to come. And as I shared today, what I want us to bear in mind is, what does it look like when the kingdom needs to come in a situation? God is, and sometimes we ask God, Lord, should I go to Ethiopia to preach the gospel there? And you know, that is also the kingdom coming. That could be the case for you. But maybe God has sent you into your situation where you are at to make the kingdom come. The Bible says when we pray to our Father, he says, let your kingdom come. And when we pray that, what are we thinking when we pray that? Are we thinking, kingdom come out there somewhere? Or kingdom come maybe in our church? Or are we praying, God, let your kingdom come in my life? Let it come. Are we speaking to ourselves in a sense? God, let your kingdom come in me. Let your kingdom come through me. And I think as we start thinking like that and praying like that, and God will start to show us things around us. He will show us sometimes small shifts, small things that can change. You know, it's not always the big things. And I believe it includes the big things. Like what Johan is sharing today is like, it's important. You know, we need to trust for people to get healed and delivered, set free. We're going to allow another opportunity for that at the end of the service. You know, I believe that is a primary way where the kingdom comes. But the kingdom also comes in our hearts, where we are at. You know, God takes us in that moment where we are at, and he gives us a step ahead, shows us the kingdom ahead of us. Okay, so we're going to speak a bit about that. We're going to look through a few scriptures, but I'm not going to preach too long today. We're just going to focus a little bit on the kingdom. Luke 12, verse 29 to 32. Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. You know, it was just Jesus speaking to his disciples about the worries and the cares of the world. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So God is saying, instead of focusing on all the cares and the worries around you, he's saying, seek your kingdom, seek my kingdom right now, in this moment. You know, so God is relating to a primary problem in our hearts. You know, it doesn't mean we mustn't take care of our needs. It doesn't mean we mustn't eat, we mustn't dress ourselves. But he says, if we are focused on the things of the kingdom, then those things will take care of itself. Those things will come forth. So he says, where is our focus? You know, and it says seeking. Seeking speaks about, where are you looking? Where are you focusing on? What are you looking at? You know, often one of the reasons why we're struggling in areas of our life is because we are trying to solve problems in a non-kingdom focused way. We're trying to solve it in our own way. We're not asking God, how does it look in your kingdom? How do you provide? How do I apply your kingdom in my life? You know, for a reason, you know, when somebody walks into the door and they're oppressed, what does the kingdom say? God wants to deliver that person from depression. You know, he wants to give us a spirit of joy instead of a spirit of heaviness. So how does the kingdom come in that person's life is when that person is delivered from that oppression, from that thing that is oppressing them. You know, that is seeking the kingdom in that instance. You know, when somebody is sick, you know, how does the kingdom come in their life? The kingdom comes when they are healed. And what I really love is when I look at Jesus' life, when after he was Holy Spirit baptized and he started to go in ministry, he went from place to place, he preached the gospel. Oh, the Bible says he preached the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. So he proclaimed the kingdom. And then secondarily, he healed the sick and he cast out demons. You know, and what was always prevalent to me, and I often say that, is that he went amongst the known religious people of those days. He didn't go to the backyard places. He went to the synagogues. In the synagogues, there were people that were demonically oppressed and that were sick. So, you know, that means there's no place. I can tell you, other than my life, I have had need of deliverance. You know, along in my Christian journey, even many years into it. You know, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe there's infirmity in your life. Maybe there's issues in your life. And God's kingdom wants to come in that area in your life. I want to give you that promise. God doesn't want to just leave you there. He doesn't want to leave you struggling. You know, some of us need to fulfill a call in our lives. You know, for the kingdom to come in your life, you need to do great things for God. But there's something that's maybe hindering you from that. You know, it could be something simple like your health. Could be something simple like, you know, finances that you need to accomplish that task, to get that thing going. You know, it could be that God needs to send a certain open door or a provision or a relationship or an opportunity. You know, so the kingdom comes when that thing shifts in your life. So that's what I'm going to, kind of, that is the backbone of what I'm going to speak of today. When we look at somebody else and when we see their hindrances in their life, how are we looking at them? Are we looking at that person and say, God, I want to see the kingdom come in that person's life? You know, when you look at a family that's going through marriage difficulties, do you say, God, I want to see the kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Father, that thing that's hindering that marriage to thrive, Father, I'm going to contend. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be your kingdom ambassador. I'm going to trust you, God, to take that hindrance. I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to trust that you give me a word of knowledge. I'm going to trust that you give me application of your word so that that thing can shift. Are you with me this morning? So that's kind of the introduction this morning. And the Father says, first seek the kingdom and don't live from a place of fear. Don't live from a place of just survival. God says, seek my kingdom and the rest will be added. Let's trust God for the greater things. Let's trust God to be free indeed. The Bible says the kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace. And Holy Spirit, for instance, in the area of just our souls, you know, if somebody is not experiencing that righteousness with God, then the kingdom must come. That person must understand, what does it mean to be saved by grace? Joy and peace. If you don't have joy and peace, then it's a hindrance. Then it's the opposing kingdom that still needs to make way for the kingdom of God so that the Holy Spirit can have his way. Now, there's quite a few scriptures on the kingdom in the New Testament, but what I find is underlying theme. You know, I shared it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I spoke about peace, coming from a place of peace. But underlying theme of all of those scriptures of the kingdom is the Holy Spirit. All of them has got in there somehow, the Holy Spirit. So, in a sense, the kingdom has got a lot to do with the Holy Spirit. It's a kingdom of power. I'm going to look at it later on. For us to really see the kingdom come, we need God's power, like Jan shared. You know, for that person to not die, the Holy Spirit had to come and enable somebody that's willing to say, let your kingdom come, Lord, in this person's life. Okay, I'm going to quickly look at the kingdom from the perspective of Christ. Matthew 11, verse 11 to 12. Truly I say to you, among them born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. This is one of those scriptures in the Bible that there's very few interpretations of, and if there's interpretations, it's quite a varied one. So I'm going to throw mine in there, but you don't have to take it. But there's actually a lot locked up here. It says here, from the time of John the Baptist until now. I believe when it speaks of the time of John the Baptist was called to baptize Christ. That was his main thing. He's prepared a way for Christ. He was called to introduce the Christ. So when Jesus is speaking here, there's a very small time which he's speaking about here. It's from the time when Jesus was baptized till Jesus said these words. It says, from that time, the kingdom of heaven has been coming. The one who's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than thee. And until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. So God is speaking about a kingdom of heaven, but it cannot be a kingdom of heaven because it speaks up to now. So it must be a kingdom that is applicable to the time. So it must be a kingdom that is on this earth, but it's a kingdom of heaven. So I believe it's the kingdom that was initiated by the Holy Spirit when Christ was baptized. And then I believe it's the works that Christ did. What did Christ do on earth? I shared it earlier. You know, he healed the sick. You know, he preached the kingdom. He delivered those who were demonically oppressed. So when it speaks about the kingdom, I believe it's the works that Christ did. It's the works of the kingdom. That which he did was the works of the kingdom. And then he says, it suffered violence. And obviously the violence I would take from that is just opposition. Christ had opposition on earth. And you can only read the gospel. You know, if you're experiencing that kind of opposition that Jesus had as you walked on earth, that's the violence that every person will suffer that's interested in seeing the kingdom come. If you're going to start praying for the sick, there will probably be opposition for that. And we must be aware of that. You know, it says we will suffer violence. There will be an intimidation. There will probably be a persecution. There might be people that don't like us doing that. And not just people. There might be, you know, a spiritual realm, another kingdom. It speaks here of the kingdom of heaven. And Bible sometimes speaks of the kingdom here on earth. It's a kingdom here on earth that's opposing the kingdom of heaven. And Christ came to bring heaven's kingdom to earth. And it's keeping going. I'm going to read that later on, that of the end of his kingdom, there is no end. So we are on the victorious side. But it says here, the violent take it by force. And obviously, a lot of interpretation on that. But I believe it speaks about a striving. It speaks about it taking hold. There's something about us embracing the kingdom. So something about us, when we see the opportunity, having to push into the kingdom. You know, there's going to be opposition. And there's to be a realization, if I'm going to take on this kingdom, there's going to be an opposite kingdom that is not going to enjoy me taking side of the kingdom of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so I'm sharing a lot of things around that. You know, I have to sometimes remind myself of the scripture. Sometimes I have to remind myself, why are we Christians doing what we're doing? Why are we here as a church? Why are we taking the position we are? And why am I sometimes experiencing things in a certain way? Is it just normal, or is it because there is an opposing kingdom? And this morning, I don't want us to walk out of here discouraged. I want us actually to be encouraged for that. Maybe you've experienced some setbacks. Maybe you've experienced some opposition. I want to encourage you. That is the birth pains of victory. You know, like in our country, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, it looked like it's impossible. You know, I can tell you, in the natural, it was impossible for our country to turn around. Our country was too far down the line. But because of the instruments of the kingdom, the church of God praying, I believe God has done a miracle. What we've seen this week is a miracle. I have no doubts about it. You know, you might think differently, it's just by coincidence. But the way things have turned around now, it's what God says, I establish a city in a day, a nation in a moment. I believe that's what we've seen this last week. Or we've seen it coming along. You know, and obviously we need to steward that as the church of God. But I want to say to you, from the time of John the Baptist, from the day that Christ was spirit-filled, starting to do the works of the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, sometimes we need to stir ourselves up. You know, taking by force, another translation is saying the righteous strive for it. So it's not a works-related thing. It's a taking hold kind of works. It's a faith works. It's saying, God, I see what you did, Jesus. I see how you want to live for us. You know, and it's gonna have an effect. You know, we can go into that. What does it look like in your workplace? Obviously, we're talking about the primary things of healing the sick and casting out demons. You know, but what does it look like in my workplace? How do I relate to my colleagues, etc.? That's about, you know, how do I raise my children, etc.? That's a kingdom. Sometimes it's, We get into difficulty. And the Bible says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. People make hard decisions. They get resistance, get discouraged, and they give up. Because there's a resistance. There's an automatic resistance from this world. I can tell you, for us having a church here in Morningside, you know, there's some things that don't want us to have a church here. You know, just you being a Christian in Durban, there's some things that don't want you to be a Christian. So either you can relate to it in a positive way, or you can feel intimidated. And that's my encouragement today to you. I want you to be encouraged being a Christian. I want you to rejoice in the fact that you are on the winning side. I want to rejoice in the fact that as you seek the kingdom, it will come. It will come. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And there's another scripture I'm going to share later. But it speaks about there will be no end to his kingdom. Matthew 11, verse 11 to 12, as I just shared in the Amplified version about that last part, it says, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. So we seek forth that kingdom. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come here on earth as in heaven. Okay. Who's excited about that this morning? Who's excited to see the kingdom come? I want you to be excited about this after we leave here today. Because in a sense, God is commissioning us, he's calling us to himself. And then he says, go and establish my kingdom. Go forth. You know, go and establish my kingdom where you are. So the amazing thing is, he's calling us his sons and daughters. He's giving us the authority, the right of extension, the ambassador rights, wherever we go to establish that kingdom. You know, and sometimes you feel like it's not happening. You might feel like you're one in 1,000, one in 100, one in 20. you're the only one that's got a kingdom seat in this, in your situation, maybe the family that you're in, etc. But I tell you, the Bible says it's like a seed. It's like a seed of leaven. You know, it works through the whole Tao and affects everything. I can promise you, if you are going to stick with the kingdom, you're going to ardently seek it out. You're going to wrestle with God consistently and say, God, how do I pray for my family? How do I pray for my colleagues? Father, what do I do? How do I relate? How do I do this? You know, it's a lifestyle. Saying, God, what is your kingdom? And the amazing thing is, sometimes we fail at it. Sometimes we're growing. We ourselves are subjects of the kingdom that are still growing into maturity. So when we fail, we use it as opportunity to grow and to learn. I'm sharing a lot of things that I didn't prepare, but it's good. Okay. Take it by force. Okay, so I quickly want to share a parable as well, which speaks about the fruit of the kingdom. And that really just aligns so nicely with what I'm sharing. Let's quickly read to Matthew 21, verse 33 to 43. And this is a parable of the kingdom. And it speaks about Christ being the master of the house and giving us a kingdom. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get its fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent to other servants more than the first. And they did the same to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, they'll respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and drew him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, you will put us wretches to miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants. We'll give them the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, if you never read the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is what the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in your eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits. Now, to just bring in context, this parable Jesus told to the Jews, the Jewish people, you know, and it's what he was actually saying is that he was that landlord. He gave them a time, he gave them a space within which to exercise that kingdom mandate. So he came back, you know, he first sent the prophets, you know, that could be the parallel, the prophets that he sent, you know, just to say, I want to be king, do things my way. And they rejected him. And then he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. And once again, Jesus came actually to explain to them the kingdom, came to demonstrate it to them. Once again, they rejected him. So Jesus says there, I will give this kingdom to another. And you know what? That's actually why many of us are sitting here. If you're not a Jew, you know, it's because God came to give the kingdom to the whole world. He says, go and preach the gospel to all nations. Go and preach the good news of the kingdom to all nations. But I believe that's not just applicable to the Jews, it's applicable to all mankind. In a sense, the house or the vineyard, the wine press, is our lives. God has given us all a vineyard, a wine press, a house, you know, a land. Your life is God's land. And God is saying, I'm leasing it to you. I'm leasing to you your career. I'm leasing to you your opportunities. I'm leasing to you your field of influence. That's something I'm giving to you. You know, he's saying it to all mankind. And then he's sending messengers. You know, that messengers could be somebody that brings the word. It can be a book that you're reading. You know, it can be a message on a Sunday. It can be all kinds of things. And God is saying, I want your life. I don't just want you to do stuff now and again for me. I don't want you just to give something to me. I'm interested in having your whole life. I want your whole life to become a kingdom instrument to me. I don't just want you to come to church on a Sunday or a Tuesday. I want my kingdom to come through your life. You know, and one way he would bring those messengers of, he would speak his word to you. He would say, you know, maybe I want you to do family different. Maybe I want you to do your finances different. Maybe I want you to do, you know, your business different. You know, he would send somebody into that business place, into Jacob Zuma. You know, if you take his example, he would send a Christian into parliament, You know, that those ACDP uses an example. Every time they get to speak, they speak the word of God. You know, you can reject that messenger, or you can say it's God's messenger. And that messenger, you know, I like what, what's the ACDB guy's, Mishu, what's his name? Yeah, he spoke a message this week to Ramaphosa. He says, the fear of God is the beginning of all things. You know, he spoke that to Ramaphosa. So, you know, he doesn't have an excuse one day before God. One day before God, he says, oh, I didn't know how to do the kingdom. No, there was my messenger declaring to you what is the right way to run this country. So he has no excuse before God because of that messenger. And all of us, had, in a sense, God is sending us messengers. And is God is gracious because it says here he sends many messengers. He didn't just send one. He sends many. And it's the same in our lives. It's the same for this city. You know, maybe you're sitting here today for the first time hearing about the message of the kingdom. And God is calling you. He says, I want you to be a kingdom ambassador. I want your studies to belong to me. I want your career to belong to me. I want your friendships to belong to me. I want your hobbies to belong to me. I want your kingdom to come through those things. Some of those things I might even ask you to stop and I ask you to do a new thing. Who knows? But firstly, God wants you to acknowledge him to be the king. You know, this message, sometimes it seems quite boring. It seems quite repetitive. You know, the Old Testament kings, they sometimes got frustrated of the true prophets of God. They say, I don't want to see you. You always bring bad messages. You know, but that's the message of the kingdom. It's sometimes quite repetitive. It's saying there's a king. There's a king that wants to be worshipped. You know, and if we stop hearing, if that message gets boring to us, then we're in trouble. If that message becomes broken, sounds like a broken record to us, then we don't understand what it means to serve the king. So God is always saying, come to me. You know, he's saying, come to me, you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But he's also saying, come to me, I want your life. Your only rest, your only fullness is going to come when you live out your life for me. Okay, are you with me this morning? You know, so this parable is actually very applicable to all of us. You know, those fields, those vineyards could be your family. You know, how are you relating to your wife? You know, God often comes and speaks to me about, you know, how do I relate to my father? How do I relate to my wife? Or how do I relate to my kids? Because it's a field God has given me. You know, and it's progressive. God sanctifies us. You know, his word comes in different stages as well. His kingdom wants to come. He wants your kids to do greater things than you. He wants to be your ceiling, must be their platform. You know, you might feel unable to do that, but God says, God is giving you avenues, you know. God wants to give you avenues. He wants to show you what to do. He wants to show you what to do next. He wants to give you the keys of the kingdom. If you seek it, the Bible says if you seek it, you'll find it. You know, and just do what he says and stick with those things. Don't get frustrated with the natural things that are happening. If you seek the kingdom, all else will be added. Are you with me this morning? You know, it's about getting serious. No, nobody's going to force you into it. Like Jesus didn't force nobody. That's the amazing thing. Amazing thing is Jesus didn't force any of those people or any of those landlords to give the money. He always just sent another messenger. He sent another messenger. You know, so that's a good parable of the kingdom. God comes as a gentleman and sends the messenger. Says, I'm actually the owner of this land. I'm only giving it to you to season, to use. And I want my share. I want my fruit from it. I want from it. You know, an example for me is, you know, for me as a pastor, it's different for me, you know. When we came to Durban, we were living out in the Durban North area. And we've been thinking, wrestling about where we should be living. We're doing, and felt God wants us to be in Durban, to ministry here. But we lived out in Durban North, you know, and a simple example. So I said, God, is this the right thing for us? And God says, no, you need to move closer to the church. You know, so we took a step of faith. We said, God, now we'll look for a house in Morningside where the church is. You know, eventually God opened the door and we buy a house. But that for us is not just a transaction. It's not just a normal transaction. It's a kingdom transaction. Because God wants us to live amongst the people, live in the area, wants us to take the ground in the area. You know, this week as well, that's happened in politics. You know, I would like to have spoken it about often, but God speaks about his church being a city on a hill. You know, so if the kingdom comes, you know, then there will be contentions. You know, there's another city on a hill just next door. The president's house is just next door. You know, so I liken it that what we're saying here, what we're declaring when we're worshiping God, when we declare His word, when we're praying, I liken it to a city on a hill being established. The Bible speaks about it. You know, so when we come on a Sunday to church, we are desiring His kingdom to come. We're in a sense establishing His rulership. We're saying, Jesus, you're king over the city. You're king over the city, you're king over this nation. You're king over the city, we say it every week. And we can, and even if every other kingdom is unseated, we'll keep on saying it, because that's what we'll be doing for eternity. We say, all the glory, all the honor, all the dominion belongs to Him. Is that exciting today? If that's not exciting to you, then I want to encourage you, then you must seek Him for who He is, because He is a King worthy of all of us. Okay. I like how different the kingdom comes to different people. You know, when Jesus came to His disciples, what did He say to them? He said, follow Me. You know, and they followed Him. But there was an example where the kingdom came to a demon-possessed man. His name was Legion. He was full of demons. Jesus cast out the demons into the pigs. What did He say? Jesus, can I follow You? What did God say to him? He says, come, go amongst your people and proclaim the kingdom. You know, so for the disciples, it was following Jesus. For that man, it was being delivered and proclaiming the kingdom amongst his people. So, you know, for you, it will be different than it's for me. You know, for the kingdom to come, it might have a different emphasis. But it's just saying, God, I want Your will to be done, not mine. Okay, let's quickly look at a few examples of the kingdom, just to see what Scripture says about the kingdom. Sage of it. And it'll, like I say again, the best way for you to see the kingdom come is go on your knees and say, King Jesus, take hold of my life. And it's not just about giving your life to Jesus. It's actually becoming, the Bible says, seeking the kingdom. So it's not just saying, God, I belong to You. It's actually starting to become proactive about it. You know, like Johanna, I love his testimony. He's saying, Lord, I'm in this workplace. Give me Scripture. Give me a word. Give me a shadow of Your kingdom that I can see and I can implement in this place. Give me something to contend for in Your word. Give me something. I tell you, God is not going to keep you bored. And I can tell you, there's a lot you can contend for. Our lives can be full. I listened to another guy this week. He says in the Hebrew language, there's no word for retirement. Do you know that? In the Hebrew language, there's not a word for retirement. That's a Western idea. You know, this old guy, he's been serving the Lord for a long time. So he says it's ungodly to retire. So I want to just encourage you today. If you're going to see God's kingdom, there's not going to be retirement. I hope it's good news. I hope it's good news. The one you retire the day you die. You get upgraded. Upgraded. That's the right way. Colossians 1 verse 13 to 14. He has delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So, you know, basically there's two kingdoms. If there's the kingdom of God, there's an opposing kingdom. You know, and everything else, I would say, falls into that category. You know, there's different kingdoms, maybe kingdom of different religions, you know, can maybe different cultural kingdoms, etc., etc. But every kingdom that's not submitted to God is in the kingdom of darkness, literally. And here it says, God has delivered us from sin. You know, so the root of the opposing kingdom is sin. What is the root of sin? Is rebellion to God. So anything that rebels to God is the opposing kingdom. So we need to always be knowledgeable. The Bible says we perish because of a lack of knowledge. Sometimes we don't realize we are, like I said earlier, we've got opposition. If you're in the kingdom of God, there's an opposing kingdom. Just have to be realistic about that. Okay? And in the kingdom, the power of sin is broken. So the amazing thing is about the kingdom of God, power doesn't have dominion to hold the kingdom back. Sin doesn't have the dominion anymore. The power of the blood of Jesus is broken, the power of sin. So the kingdom of God can come where the power of sin is broken through the blood. So they, once again, take it in every sphere of your life, you know, in your workplace. It's not just about the kingdom coming. There's a contention. It's another kingdom that wants to come there. In our government, there's a contention. Two kingdoms wants to come. which one will prevail depends on us. God has given us the mandate to decide, you know, for our city, for everything. You know, one of the easiest ways we can see that Christians are not serious about the kingdom coming is looking at the movie industry. South Africans, in 2001, they did a census, 80% of South Africans say they're Christian. But I want to argue, most Christians don't understand what it means to be a kingdom-focused person. Because a movie like 50 Shades of Grey pops up in South Africa, and it has got record sales, you know, the first weekend it pops up. You know, that's a completely demonic. You know, you don't even have to know what it's about. You can just read the reviews, and you know you shouldn't go there. And most of Hollywood, by the way, is just complete demonic stuff. You know, so if you're going to go watch that stuff, you cannot the next day pray and be angry with God if he doesn't answer your prayer. You know, because we have the mandate to shut down those cinemas. We have the mandate to make sure those things don't carry profit. You know, I've moved out of movies. It was 2 to 10, and I thought it was nonsense. You know, there was too much stuff happening there that's not godly. You know, for our children, what do they watch? What do you allow your children to watch? You know, MTV, complete demonic stuff. You know, do you have MTV playing in your house? You know, I'm just asking, do you know what is the kingdom that's driving that stuff? Just a simple thing. The Bible says we're renewed. We're transformed by the renewal of our minds. So what is renewing your children's minds? What is renewing your minds? What are you looking at? What are you taking? And once again, you know, we have to say that to ourselves every week. You know, we have to say that to ourselves all the time. What are we feeding ourselves? What are we looking for? What are we investing in? Okay? Seeking the kingdom. You know, it's not what I'm talking here about ourselves. We're not judging what other people are doing. You know, the world are engaging in these things. But where we have to say, we need to be honest about this stuff. Where we have to say, we need to block. We need to put hedges in place. Colossians 1 verse 13 to 14. He has delivered us. Sorry, the next one. Matthew 6 verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth and in heaven, I shared it earlier. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. So, it's not just a kingdom, but it's the purest definition. It's your will be done. Your will be done. So the kingdom and its purest definition is just saying, God, your will be done. So instead of trying to say what is evil, what is bad, what is another thing, is just saying, God, what is your will in this situation? What is your will? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Like I said earlier, is are you just saying that to the atmosphere around you, or are you saying it to yourself? And that's where I find the biggest challenge in my life, you know, is when I say to myself, Manus, is this God's kingdom what you're doing right now? Is this God's kingdom coming? Is this God's kingdom coming? Is this God's kingdom coming? And I do fail. But it's the right question to ask, Lord, is this your kingdom coming? And the Bible says, with the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. There is freedom. So God, by His Spirit, like I shared, from a place of rest, when we really want to put God first, He will start showing us what truly is His kingdom. And all of us have different situations. You might find yourself in a situation that's totally impossible. You find yourself in a situation where you feel maybe you're imprisoned. But God knows that situation. And the best place is to say, God, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to get out of this cycle. I don't know. But your kingdom has got the keys. You've got the keys. Okay? All right, next one, Mark 10, verse 15. Truly, truly, I say you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. I shared it 2 weeks ago. You know, for us to be led by God, we need to have a childlike predisposition to God. But it's about the intellectual humility, you know, and to just apply it to a practical area in our lives. You know, Carlos shared it so well. You know, when we want to operate in faith, for instance, in our finances, we're going to say, God, how do you look at finances? You know, and the challenge of all of us, often we are very educated. You know, I've got engineering training in my background. So I can tell you why this 1 plus 1 equals 2. And I can say to you, you know, 50 divided by 3 is so much and whatever. But my problem is, if you apply the kingdom, you cannot look at finances like that. You know, maybe you're an accountant. You've got a very good accounting brain. You know, if you look at your finances like an accountant, You're not looking at it with childlike humility. You're not going to have the kingdom come in your finances. Because God says, he who borrows to the poor lends to me. You know, how's an accountant going to account to that, if for instance? You know, if you give something to the poor, how do you relate to that? Are you saying, I'm just giving this away? Or are you actually saying, God is able to do something with this? God is somehow able to multiply this in another way. He's able to do something great with this money I'm giving away to the poor because I'm actually giving it to him. You know, it's like Carlos shared earlier this way. You know, do I really believe bringing my tithe in the house, storehouse of God, can invoke God's protection? Or do I rather trust in my insurance? You know, I'm not saying insurance is bad, but where is my trust? You know, where's my primary trust? You know, those are the things we have to challenge ourselves with. So now we're coming to the real things of the kingdom. You know, we can say a lot of stuff, but when it really hits it, you know. I love it, you know, the one guy I listened to recently said, you know, insurance can do a lot of things after the event, but it cannot preempt the event. Do you know that? You know, all the insurances you can have in the world can only cover the aftermath of the event. No insurance can cover the incident. You know, so what insurance can cover the incident? God. The Bible says he's my refuge. He's my stronghold. He's my shelter. I run into him. And I'm saved. You know, so, you know, those things might all be good stewardship. You know, it's not bad things, but at the end of the day, we need to have childlike humility. Otherwise, we're operating outside of the kingdom. Okay. You know, and obviously childlike humility doesn't mean immaturity. You know, I have to add that in there. You know, you'll go to a church service, there will be a guy that says, bring 10,000 rand and God will multiply it 10 times today. And you'll walk out of here with 1 million rand. You know, that is not childlike faith. That is the opposing kingdom operating there. So we need to make sure that we mature in our doctrine with a childlike humility. You know, so we must be mature, not being tossed to and fro by every doctrine and every stuff. You know, that's also the kingdom. It's actually a whoring evil. You know, that's evil. When somebody preaches a prosperity gospel using God's name for their own gain. You know, I want to encourage you with that. Like Carlos shared, you know, a lot of people are hurt out there, but that's probably because they were caught offside. You know, they were caught in a trap set by the devil and they didn't discern it. You know, so our childlike humility must come from a place of faith and being grounded in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 4:17, 20. That's why I sent Timothy to you, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon. The Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of those arrogant people by their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Okay, you know, there's a lot we can derive from that as well. But once again, I want to, on this day of the context we are in the kingdom, you know, if you come to a situation, are you coming with expectation to change? You know, the Bible says we will lend ourselves to teacher, will teach us what we want to hear. You know, so just to take that perspective, if you truly want to be in a situation where the power of God is proclaimed, then it's where the full counsel of God is proclaimed. Timothy is saying here, I brought to you the full counsel. I proclaimed to you Christ and the ways in Christ. You know, so he declared what Jesus did. You know, there was a lot of speakers that declared maybe some other doctrine about Christ, what his blood did and how you get salvation, etc. But even to take it one step further, you know, if you are not confronted with truth in areas of your life, then there's probably no power. Because power is when there's the true word of God being spoken. You know, another example is when Jesus came to Pilate and Pilate asked him, what is truth? And then he turned away and walked away. You know, truth wasn't an idea, it was a person right before him. So it wasn't that the words of truth was far away, he just wasn't open to it. You know, so the power of God is something that we need to pursue. Something that we need to seek out. We must say, God, where can I go that I can grow in truth? Where can I go where the full counsel of God is? How can I make sure that I proclaim the full counsel of God, not just the things that feels good, feel the things that I want to say? Okay, so it's something, you know, for instance, like Johan shared earlier, you know, the kingdom of God speaks about healing and deliverance. So if I deny that Jesus still heals today, then I am actually not declaring the power of God. Because the power of God will set the captives free. The power of God will bring forth healing. The power of God will bring forth the breakthrough in your life so you can see the kingdom come. And by the way, you know, I really believe, you know, when we function as a church, and it's not just me, you know, it's all of us. When we function as a church and people have to walk in here, and they have to walk out here changed. You know, maybe not the first day, but somewhere along the line. You know, so if you walk in here and your main need is to have a job, then you must be willing to receive it, but you mustn't walk out of here without a job. I believe God wants to supply overabundantly every need. So, you know, for the kingdom to come in your life, it might be something simple. As God, and I believe there's power in the name of Jesus for every need that this world has, every single need. And Christ, when he walked past people and they cried out at him, he says, what can I do for you? You know, I believe that's a demonstration of power. What can I do for you? So today, if you have a need here, I believe Jesus is here to meet that need. And that's how the kingdom comes. I don't want you to walk out of here believing it's godliness not to ask for that need, to just stay where you're at. I believe God wants to meet that need. Are you with me this morning? Okay, the band can come forward. Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7. This is the good news. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from this time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That's the most exciting thing. You know, when I go through a tough time, doesn't matter, you know, what the situation might be, you know, even this week, you know, my whole family being sick one after the other, and I say, Lord, how on earth can I fulfill what you've called me to do? I can't go to campus. Campus have been striking for 5 weeks anyway. You know, so how are we going to fulfill your call on that place? You know, how are we going to do it? How can I go? My hope is not in myself. My hope is in the fact that his kingdom is coming. And to the end of his government, there will be no end. You know, that's what God is calling us, is to seek the kingdom. To say, Lord, to the end of your kingdom, there's nothing that can withhold it. And I want to be a part of seeking that fullness. I want to be a part of that coming of the kingdom. I want to position myself most effectively, most profitably, in a place, in a position where your kingdom needs to come. Where your kingdom needs to come. You know, so this morning, let's just all stand. You know, so the kingdom has come when Jesus was on earth. It is coming and it will come. It is a past reality, it's a present reality, and it's a future reality. And to the end of that kingdom, there will be no end. Christ guarantees it. One day when he comes back, the fullness of it will be established. But that kingdom is already here, right now. Christ came to bring the kingdom to earth. And he took all authority back to enable us to establish that kingdom. He's the heir of that kingdom. He's the primary establisher. He's the one that came to establish that kingdom. So this is where we are at this morning. Such a sense that God just wants to display that in our hearts. He wants to enthrone himself. You know, I shared a lot of things today. When the kingdom has come upon you, when you've experienced it yourself. When you've seen it with your own eyes. And the Jews, I was just reminded now, the Jews, and they were looking for the kingdom of God. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the coming king. But they looked wrong. They looked for a political king to come. And Jesus came in a different way. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven. He came to establish a kingdom that we can only see with spiritual eyes. Their eyes were locked because they wanted a specific outcome from it. And just where you are at this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what is the kingdom that you desire to come? All of us desire a king. All of us, you see it in ancient Israel. They were the only nation that didn't have a king, and they said, Lord, give us a king. We want to be like all nations. And I believe that's something that God has placed in there. He wants us to follow after somebody perfect. He wants us to follow after something that's greater, that can inspire us. Who is that king in your life? What does his kingdom look like? When did you ask that? What is the thing that you draw strength from? Is there other kings that satisfy you more? Is there other things in your life that you look upon for strength? Or are you looking at a king? Are you looking at him to draw strength from him? Are you looking at him to say, Lord, let your kingdom come? Are you looking at him? Are you praying that prayer and saying, Lord, let your kingdom come? Let your kingdom come.